Later this hour, we will look at some deep shifts going on in the American workforce for women. But this next story is a scene out of a macho Hollywood drama about dock workers and the ancient power of the big ships that haul the goods of the world.
You want to know what's wrong with our waterfront? It's the love of a lousy buck. It's making love of a buck, the cushy job, more important than the love of man.
On the Waterfront, the movie with Carl Malden and Marlon Brando tells the story of the workers' triumph over the mob. Today, the battle on the docks is worker versus machine. And in the shadow of Hollywood, the machines are winning on the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach.
It was just unbelievable watching a terminal work with almost no noise and no visible people. Everything was driverless. I mean, we were all like looking at each other like, oh, my God, scared as hell.
That's James Spinner Spinoza, former president of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, or the ILWU. In day two of independent producer Lou Olkowski's series Cargoland, a collaboration with KCRW, we learn that all is not well on the waterfronts of the West Coast.
It is this thing that everyone says they won't talk about, but it's all they're talking about. And everyone gets the sense that they're not supposed to be talking about it. Does the union want me to talk about it? But it is a number one thing that is on everyone's mind because the job of moving cargo, you know, was traditionally done with lots and lots of human beings. At first, in the old days, it was human beings physically lifting things. And now it's people driving, you know, trucks and cranes to move this cargo around. But what's going to happen with automation is that many of those people are not going to be needed at all.
And the people who love to talk about this are the economists who don't necessarily have a dog in the fight, but can certainly see what's happening. Here's Walter Kemsies, who's chief economist at Moffitt and Nichols.
How can you run that much volume through that small space? You're not going to do it with human beings. Human beings can't run around and move that. They're neither physically capable of working that hard and that much. But it's also really, really dangerous. There's a scale of activity beyond which it is not safe for human beings to be involved.
But boy, the human beings definitely want to be involved, and they've already experienced some level of automation over the last three decades. What do they say about it?
They don't want to give up. They do not want to give up at all. You know, they worry about job loss. They worry, they think, oh, my father, my grandfather worked on the docks, and these are great, great jobs. And like, I want my family, my kids to be able to have this job, and they want it to exist, you know? Walter Kemsies would just think these jobs are going to go away, and there are going to be other jobs that open up doing other kinds of things related to longshore work, and just don't worry about it.
Yeah, well, it's easy to say, but when you talk to someone like Gretchen Williams, who's a supercargo for Matson Navigation, you know, to talk to her, it's like she's showing you her family photo album.
My stepdad, he developed the Lines Bureau in the 50s, and he was ILWU for 47 years when he retired. So I'm third generation. I think that my family has bridged the golden age of longshoring because now we're being eliminated by technology, essentially. Mine is the last generation that will have a lifetime job.
What did her face look like when she told you that?
Well, she loves the waterfront. But I don't think she's holding on to it. You know, she's retiring quite soon. And there's a sadness, you know, but she's so tough. Gretchen is one of the first women to work at the port, and that came with a fight. And so this, it's another fight.
So who is fighting this automation? Who's trying to stand firm in the face of all this change?
Well, holding on to every job you can hold on to is a battle. You know, the men and women who run the ILWU are so smart in how they have protected work for their union members. You know, one of the people I met was part of the leadership, you know, several years ago when automation first came on the scene. This guy, James Spinoza, Spinner, under his leadership, they basically outbid another union to take mechanics work away from the mechanics union and make it, if it was on the port, an ILWU job. So they basically stole work from another union. But then they did something crazy. When computers were first coming in for the clerks, they kind of knew that, you know, this was automation on a smaller level, right? And Spinner thought, that could be a union job. And so here's this guy who's president of the union who starts going in to like 12, 16 different companies, finding the people who do that specific job function, learning the ins and outs of the loopholes of how they do the job, asking those people to turn and leave the employer and go join the union if he can get these jobs for them. And then going through, I believe it's the National Labor Relations Board, to then classify these jobs as union in a huge lawsuit. Can you just imagine sneaking in to like 14 different companies, stealing workers from management to make them union workers, to hold on to jobs for your men and women? They battle for every single job. It is unbelievable.
The traditional jobs of handling cargo are going to disappear. This is not an official report, but what I've been told, when Middle Harbor opens up for the port of Long Beach, that they could lose almost 50% of their man hours. That's half the work of Long Beach. It's coming too fast. You know, that's tremendous, a short period of time to get rid of thousands of workers when you're not dealing with it. You know, it's not going to be easy, and there's going to be some pain here, without a doubt. How much, we'll see, but definitely going to be some pain in here.
Pain, of course, means layoffs.
Yeah, no work means lack of work, for sure.
What do you think the port of Long Beach and the port of Los Angeles will look like in 20 years if someone were to venture back and redo this series in a generation?
I think there may be, obviously, more automated terminals, unlike the terminals now where there's lots of people and a lot of noises. The automated terminals are really unusually quiet. But even though automation is going to happen, I think where people like Kemsies are seeing the opportunity is in exports. You know, everything we've been talking about, moving containers, moving boxes, that's about importing. That's about bringing things here to us. And Kemsies is a big believer that, you know, America, we do have things to ship to the rest of the world. You know what we're great at? We're great at food. We are great at growing things. We are great at beef. We are great at wheat. And like, we need to build an infrastructure to move more of that out. And so I'm not sure what that looks like, because that doesn't sound as quiet, right, as an automated terminal only bringing in boxes. And I think if the country does move to work on those exports, I think it can still sound really noisy out there. There could still be a lot of work out there.
Lou Elkoski produced Cargoland in partnership with KCRW. She's now a producer and reporter with our friends at WGBH in Boston.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.